I'm going to do things just a little bit different here at the beginning. Forgot my, bring my Bible up. It'll be good to have that up there. If you're from Teen Challenge and you've been in Teen Challenge over 3 months, why don't you stand up? Teen Challenge and you've been in Teen Challenge for over 3 months, stand up. Because I felt like I had some things on the Lord's heart for you guys just to encourage you. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tonight. So when it comes to that time, pay attention. But anyway, I don't know how familiar you are with them. They were Hebrew guys who, when Jerusalem fell, they got taken to a foreign land. They got made into be eunuchs, and they had to serve before the king. So what I sensed tonight was that you guys that have been there longer than 3 months, you have a precious, how would I say this? You set the standard for the atmosphere of the place. You're the guys who are there. You're the guys that's been there a little while. You're called to lead, and your influence among your peers is powerful. For example, it just struck me tonight. I saw these guys all up here, and I'm like, this is a message to Teen Challenge. This is who Teen Challenge is. We press in. We forget about being cool, and we love on God. That's the standard at Teen Challenge. You're setting that standard. And there's many other ways that I feel like, why don't everybody else just raise their hands and lift their hands up to these guys here. Father, we just thank you for their lives. Thank you for the opportunity they have in this season to walk for you, to study your word, to be in proximity in places where they can't get away, where they've got your hands around them. Thank you for this time in their lives, this precious season. May your grace be upon them, O God. May your grace be upon them to daily choose and to keep the standard at Teen Challenge where you want it, oh God. To keep it in that place of change. To keep it in that place of hope. To keep it in that place of life. That's what they do when they choose you every day. They're helping to keep that standard. This is the way you get free. This is the way God changes you. This is the way of hope. This is the way of God. So Lord, I bless them. And I pray you will strengthen them with might to make choices every day. The little things, the disciplines they walk in, the choices they make for their own lives. Lord, bless them. Strengthen them. Amen. Amen. You can sit down. Now, if you're at Teen Challenge and you're over 45, stand up, please. Okay, for the rest of you guys, put your hands out because I'm going to pray over them. I feel like the Lord's got some things for them too. Okay, we just talked about serving a God of the impossible. Serving a God of the impossible. That's who we are. That's we serve that God. And I just feel like, you know, I can imagine the devil coming to you and beating you down, beating you down, beating you down. You're no good. You're not worth anything, blah, 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 until you start to believe it. And it's not the truth. You are who God has called you to be. You are who God says you are. You are not who the devil says you are. And we serve the God of the impossible. We were just singing, I'm a new creation. If you're a new creation, I just charge you to expect change. You're going to walk out of Teen Challenge changed forever. As you surrender to the Holy Spirit knows how to take care of you. Day in and day out, you make choices. What am I going to do in my flesh? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Your spirit knows how to take care of your flesh. So I just believe that you're going to leave Teen Challenge full of hope because you serve the God of impossible. You can change. You're not like the devil might tell you, you're no good, you don't have any worth. That is not the truth. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And you've got awesome brothers around you fighting with you. Grab their arms and you're going to walk out of this place so with a message on your heart and a young spirit. Your spirit never grows old. So, Lord, I just bless these men. Thank you for their lives. Father, thank you for how you've called each one. They have a calling from God. And even at Teen Challenge, Lord, they're being restored. They're being set back on that path. They can accomplish what you've got planned for them. I bless them in that. Fill them full of hope, Lord. Not just a little bit, God. Established in it. Established in it because they serve the God of the impossible. Thank you for every precious heart standing up there, Lord. Thank you for their call. Thank you for who they are in Jesus. You're the architect, you're the author, and the perfecter of their faith. You who has begun a good work in them will bring it to completion. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can sit down. Bless you all for coming, for being a part of the body of Christ here with us tonight. At one point in Jesus' ministry, he sent out 72 disciples. Sent them out two by two. You go ahead of me into the city. Go out ahead of me. I'm teaching you to learn to share the gospel. I'm teaching you to minister. The gospel is for going out. So he sent them out two by two into the towns. Well, I don't know how long they were gone. 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. That's not really clear. But when they came back, you can just imagine the stories they had to share, the excitement they had. I think probably the biggest thing that they came back realizing was, God can use me. God can use me. I felt God flow through me. I felt God using me to, I saw people's lives change. I saw people healed. I saw this, I saw that. And who knows how many stories, you can only imagine, they sat around and talked and shared about all their adventures, if you want to use that word, all the times they had out ministering and preaching. And so that's sort of the heart. You're awesome. Thank you. I was going to ask, I thought, okay, you can see my mouth is beginning to get dry. That's what wives are awesome at. Thank you, honey. So they were just excited and full and wanted to share the coolness of how cool God is and all their adventures. And so I'm kind of coming to you with that heart this evening, having been involved in kind of evangelistic focus for the last, I don't know, year and a half or 2 years. And on Friday nights, we have a prayer team here, and we're focused on, we always base our prayers on the verse that says, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send out laborers into his harvest. And so we're doing that here. And then on Saturdays, from 9:45 to 12:30, we meet together, we pray, and then we go out. We ask the Lord to give us clues of who we're going to meet. And we write them down, their names, their what they look like, what they might have prayer needs about, and where we'll meet them, different places where we'll encounter people. So we call that treasure hunting. And so before I share about the treasure hunting part and just all the stories and the adventures, I want to talk a little bit about what's coming out of the praying that we do. Because I'm asking the Lord, okay, I'm the guy on our team that brings the language to the prayer. I'm the guy that shoots at the target or chooses the target we're going to pray for. I'm the prayer leader. That's my job. And so I'm asking the Lord, okay, Lord, how do I cry out to you this week? You know, every week we change it up just a little bit, but we stay on the theme of the harvest, which Jesus talked about the harvest being the end of the age, the end of the age of the church, and in the coming of when he wraps things up and begins the new millennial reign of the Lord when he's here on earth. And so that's our focus. And so those are the things that, with that focus in mind, I'm going to share just a couple things that the Lord's been laying on my heart as far as the harvest goes and as far as just the season that we're in and how to be prepared and that kind of thing. Now, I just keep wanting to go to, as we're praying, pray out of the parables. Look at the parables of Jesus. What did he teach? What did he say? If you really want to get the Lord's heart, the parables he taught are stories to illustrate, this is my heart, this is who I am. Things you can't really see, you can see by looking at a picture and understanding. So he brings parables to the people so that they will better understand what the kingdom of God's like. And oftentimes he spoke of parables. He talked about the wedding parables. He used weddings a lot, big celebrations. And the one thing that was understood back in those days about weddings was you never knew when they were going to be over, or you never knew exactly when things were going to be happening. So you had to be there. And then whenever the bridegroom was ready, then people would join in. I'm not sure exactly how it all works out, but that's often talked about in some of the scriptures. And in one particular scripture parable that I used this evening, that I'm going to use this evening, the master of the house had left and went to a wedding feast, told his servants, "Now I'm going to go to this wedding feast. You make sure everything's in good order, protected, everything's taken care of until I get back." And it implies that the time of his return was pretty nebulous. It could have had quite a range. So that's the context of the parable in Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, I'm going to start at verse 35. Now my translation says, "Stay dressed for action. And keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them." So in other words, he's going to be so thankful that they did a good job, he's going to dress himself. Let's see here. If you had a King James Version, or maybe some of your translations might say, "Gird yourself," okay? Which, to gird yourself back in those days, they had long robes, and if they were getting ready to do some work that took a lot of physical activity or working with their hands or whatever it might be, digging a trench or who knows what, running, they would take their robes and reach down and pull them up between their legs and tie them kind of up on their belt so that they could, so all the floppiness and all the hindrances and the things in the way, it would allow them to move freely, okay? So they were ready for action. They could really go to work. They could really, in this case, he said, dress for action. So it was the idea of always being ready to go to work or always being ready to serve, always being alert to what's going on, so that you're not just hanging out, laying around, just waiting for the time to pass. It's kind of the idea of the difference between waiting for the time to pass, hoping something good will come along, as opposed to getting up and being proactive and causing something good to come along. So you see the difference? Hanging around and waiting is kind of a passive response, and you'll fall asleep. But if you engage yourself and you take advantage of opportunities and be proactive, you'll stay awake and you'll stay alert. And so Jesus told this parable and he said, your master is going to be very happy. He is going to, even to the point of he will go, whoa, you guys sit down. You've done a great job. I'm going to serve you. So the idea of what I'll just kind of generalize here a little bit. So basically the idea of staying awake and staying alert was one of Jesus' most primary warnings and concerns about the end of the age, about the harvest time, about the time of the great tribulation. If you're asleep, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss what God's got for you. Stay awake, stay alert. He says that in a lot of different ways, and that's what he's got us praying about. We oftentimes, it's kind of funny, I don't know, is Amy here? No, she's not here. I can tell this story on her then. We were in the back room getting ready to come out, and she asked me, John, what are you going to pray about? And Sue Anna was back there, and she said something about, I said, we're going to go back to last week and take off where we were last week. And Sue Anna remembered that the week before we talked about being girded for action, right, or something like that with the girded. Anyway, it's kind of funny because Amy goes, got any better words than girded to sing with about? You know, the idea of I'm going to have to sing around this. Give me something better than girded. So I started reading from my translation as I was praying, and I told Amy, here's your words, dressed for action. So think about that as you go throughout your day. Am I just kind of hanging back, or am I ready for action? Am I proactive? Am I making choices that are going to bring the return of the Lord quicker? Okay. I also had to think about Ephesians 5, where Paul also just very, very encouraged people to be alert. And I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and just read there a passage that really correlates along with this one. And he's talking at the top of my paragraph, at the beginning of chapter 5, the heading is walk in love. I thought that was really interesting because one of the best ways to walk in love is to stay awake. Okay. Where do I start here? I'm going to just start with verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He was quoting some passages from Isaiah there, about one was about staying awake, and the other one was about Christ arising and shining on them. So as we stay awake, we will shine the light. Okay, now, I want to talk a little bit more about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because I mentioned those earlier, and I just felt like they were really... We needed to just consider their lives and the times they were living in and that kind of thing. Now, I'm not going to go back to the story, but just to tell the story quickly. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were noble. They were from noble families in Israel. And when the Babylonians came and captured Jerusalem, they carried away... Basically, the strategy of the kings in those days was when you took over a city, you carry away, you remove all of the wealthy people, all of the influential people, and you leave the lower class people to maybe take care of the everyday things and keep things kind of going along. And then if you can capitalize on the nobility, bring them back to your kingdom, and train them up. In this case, they actually took the young men, the young nobles, made them eunuchs, and then they had to serve the king in his courts for the rest of their lives. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, along with Daniel, the plan for King Nebuchadnezzar was we got to train these guys to serve in the castle, in the court of the king. So they got to have the best training, and they got to understand the culture. And so they went through a rigorous preparation time. And during that preparation time, Daniel and his three friends, who were used to eating only kosher food, only food that the Jews ate, they purposed, even though we're here, even though we've been taken away from our homeland, taken away from our temple, taken away from our religion, we are still not going to eat the, we want to still eat the foods that God's told us to eat. We don't want to defile ourselves with the rich foods that the king was giving them because they believed those foods were defiled. They were maybe a lot more fat, and if you know anything about health, they probably weren't near as healthy as what they wanted to eat, which was vegetables. So they chose to eat vegetables. They did a test. The guy in charge of them did a test for 10 days, and after 10 days on vegetables, those four guys were obviously in better shape physically, so it was a supernatural work, I think, but God blessed them, and then when it came time for them to stand before the king, he recognized the superiority of those guys in their wisdom and in their just their ability to answer him wisely. So he decided, I'm going to put these guys in charge of different regions in my kingdom. And Daniel himself, who is kind of the main character of the book of Daniel, as you can imagine, he stayed and worked right there with the king. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it appears like from reading the story, they got to go out and travel and govern more away from the province of Babylon was big because they were taking countries over and they were expanding their territory and they were growing. And so it was a whole lot more than just governing right there in Babylon. And so the three Hebrew guys, they got to go out as officials, governors, and guys who were high up. So they were in the upper echelons of the government. Then the story goes that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were out there, and they had this king who was very proud. At least that's the way I see it. And, of course, he's very wealthy, Nebuchadnezzar, probably the greatest king of the time, very famous. All the nations feared Nebuchadnezzar the king. Well, he decided to build a statue and to put it in the plains, and everyone, then he had a plan that everyone was going to have to bow down to this statue. Now, here's what happened while we were praying, and this is why I'm sharing the story, okay? So I told the story to give you some background, but this is why I shared the story. I shared the story because it's so ripe or so prevalent for things that we can use in the season that we're in. Okay, I always read the story thinking that, you know, the whole statue thing in the fiery furnace might have taken a month or two. You know, it didn't seem like a long story. It didn't take up a lot in the book. But we were here praying, we were actually just praying about fire. And so we started praying about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, wait a minute. How long did this story really take to unfold? I don't really think, or maybe I should just say this. It's my opinion. I'm not going to say this is gospel because I haven't done a lot of history study of the story because I didn't have time. But just to imagine, okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're up in the echelons of the government. They are in the loop. They're in the talk. They know what's going on, okay? Now, chances are, you know, first there might have been talk about this Nebuchadnezzar guy thinks he's God or something, you know. Who knows how long that talk went on? And then here he starts to build this statue, and there's more talk, and there's more talk. And so the three Hebrew guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in on it because they're in the upper echelons. And they know, they kind of sense, wait a minute, this is getting serious. Something's coming. Something's coming. And so, because of their lifestyle, it wasn't at the last second. Okay, here's the way the story goes. So, finally this big, it's because I'm saying that probably took longer than we thought because the statue was so big. It was really tall. And so, by the time it was finally set up in the plains there, Nebuchadnezzar called all the governors, all the high up people. It wasn't the lowly people. It was the governors. It was the influential leaders of his kingdom. Those are the ones he called and gathered around. It doesn't appear that Daniel was even there. But it was the guys that were going out and, you know, governing his kingdom. They call them satraps, and I don't know, there's other different names that I've heard used for them. And so I was realizing, you know what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't make a decision right then. They'd already made their decision. Then they begin to hear, or maybe they heard about things and they already made their decision. But it wasn't something that happened that quick. It was a little while in coming. So they had some time to prepare. And that's what they did. They prepared themselves by their way of life. They prepared themselves by their choices every day. They refused to assimilate into the culture. They refused to listen to their flesh. One of the things that I got this evening, just this evening as I was thinking and praying about the guys from Teen Challenge, the word about your spirit knows how to take care of your body better than your flesh does. If you can get a hold of that, that will really be a help in walking a disciplined life, in taking care of your temple. Your spirit knows how to take care of your temple. God made it to dominate your life. Your life was made. You were made to be dominantly spiritually led by God. You're a spiritual being primarily, and your spirit knows how to take care of your body if you'll listen to it. Now, you could probably get extreme in that, but I'm just saying, oftentimes your flesh, well, the Bible says what? The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So I just wanted to share that with you. So what I was going to say was, I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were living out of their spirit. They were making choices. It's the choices that they made every day to spend time in their devotions. And I think in their case, it was praying with the window open towards Jerusalem, something of that nature. They were alert to what was going on. And so, because they were in that place, when it came time to bow down, it was like, I can't bow down to that idol because that would offend my lover. That would offend the one I love. That would offend my God. I can't do that. I can't. In front of him, I cannot do that. Worship, blatantly worship another God when I know who the God of heaven and earth is. So because they had prepared with their lifestyle, because they had chosen, I like what Dave Raymer preached about. I feel like they chose the narrow road, the road less traveled, the tougher road. Because they'd made that choice, it wasn't really a big choice at the time of the fiery furnace. That was one of the things that I just kind of sensed when I read the story. The king says, okay, you guys, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you will bow down, I won't throw you into this fire. And just the words they use, the way it's written, I get the impression is like, They didn't even flinch. It was like they didn't even get stirred up. It was like, look, King, whether God delivers us or whether he doesn't, that's already settled in us, in our minds. We're not worried about that. We just know we're not going to bow down. That's just how I would read into the context and the way it's spoken and all that. That they'd already decided, they weren't shaken at all. And so I just want to say that You know, as we look around, maybe you can sense, like I can, some dark things that are growing, that we're close to the end, that there's going to come a time when Christians will be openly hated lots of places, including the United States. And so now, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now is the time to prepare. We have this opportunity to prepare. Now is the time to be faithful. Now is the time to choose the narrow road. Now is the time to listen to your spirit man. So may the spirit of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be on us. May it abide with us. And that's just one of the things that I was thinking about as far as the harvest is concerned. It was like, now is the season of preparation. Now I just want to share some things. That's kind of a challenge. But I want to share some things now just about some of the fun, some of the joys, some of the really cool things that happen when we're out on the streets, when we go out and pray for people. So we go out treasure hunting, and our goal is to, well, first, like I said, first we pray, which is really a key ingredient. I mean, this is the main part of the day. And you know, it's kind of interesting. Why wouldn't it be the main part of the day, right? First, we ask the Lord, okay, God, we want to go out, we want to share your kingdom, we want to build your kingdom. Let's get some input. What do you have to say? Who are we going to meet? What are they going to need? What are their names? Just anything that we feel like. So what that is, if you're talking about spiritual gifts, that would be like asking the Lord for words of knowledge, okay? Understanding that you wouldn't get in the natural. And so we're practicing growing our gift of the word of knowledge by doing this. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you understand anything about spiritual gifts. So we're beginning to practice already in the morning, and we're asking the Lord, Lord, help us out. So then we write down, we fill out our treasure maps by writing down the clues that we hear from the Lord. And we usually spend about 15 minutes writing down clues. Okay, so then our job is to go out and share with the people who are our clues that they are God's treasure. Because we're on a treasure hunt. Our intent is to let people know how precious they are to God, that He's thinking about them. So if we make a contact, that's our primary goal. That they want to go away either feeling or at least being told, whether they will or willing to receive it or not, that you're God's treasure. And so there's lots of varying responses, but because of the way that we look for clues, you know, we'll come up to somebody and say, hey, excuse us, might sound a little strange, but we're out playing a game, kind of like scavenger hunt. Well, most people know right away what scavenger hunt is. So that kind of, you know, breaks down a few walls right there. We say, but we call ours a treasure hunt, and we pray and ask the Lord to give us clues. We make up a treasure map, and we've been looking on our map, and you got one of the clues on our treasure map. And we tell them what it is, like maybe you have dreadlocks. You know, someone wrote down dreadlocks, we'd meet somebody with dreadlocks. So we feel like because you've got dreadlocks and you're at this place where Walmart. We go to Walmart, we're here at Walmart, and you got dreadlocks. We feel like the Lord's telling us, hey, approach this person because I've prepared him and he needs to know. So that's kind of the way we do it. And it's really neat. We get a lot of really, kind of caught off guard. But in a general sense, it's quite effective as far as just breaking through the initial barriers. And then we ask them, okay, so we share with them that we feel like the Lord wants them to know there is treasure. And then is there something that anything we can just agree with you in prayer about? And so oftentimes it might be something they want healing for, or, the range. There's lots of everything. So I'll just say, this is some of the people that we've encountered, and these are some of the cool things that have happened, okay? And just some of the processes, and then also some of the work that God's done in our lives as we're You know, because it's not just about the people out there. You're on a team. And the Holy Spirit's working with the team. And you're feeling the Holy, you're like, whoa, this is cool. So you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit moving you as a team and doing stuff like that. That's really neat too. Okay. So we had a, I'm going to change the names just because I haven't asked anybody if I could share any of their stories. So I'm just going to use different names. I'm going to say William. A couple of us got the name William that day. When we write down names, oh, I was going to say, we compare our notes to see if like two or three or four of us have the same thing, which if two of us got the same name or the same prayer concern or whatever, we kind of highlight that and we will really pay attention, put a little bit more focus on that. So this particular day, two of us had got the name, let's say William. And one of our clues also was dreadlocks. And sure enough, this was took place here in the mall. Here comes a guy with dreadlocks. Big, great big guy. Kind of intimidating, actually. But since we had the clue, hey, let's approach this guy. So we hung around until we felt like it was a good time. And then we, excuse us, sir. And lo and behold, here his name was William. So if you can just imagine, these people come up to him and they say, hey, you know, we got this clue. What's your name? And of course, when he says William, we go, oh, wow, look at this. We got William written down on our paper. And so in this particular case, because the double, he had dreadlocks, and because two of us had his name, it was like there was just a spirit of boldness that just came over me. I mean, I didn't think about it. I was like, so I go, so hey, dude, what? Like, we were telling him, hey, and that's not usually the way I ask people, you know. But it was like, we were telling him, hey, God sent us here. And he highlighted you to us. So, dude, what's going on? How can we pray for you? It was just the coolest awareness to know the Holy Spirit quickened me like that. And so it was just, his response was really neat. It was like, he just thought for a little bit. He was kind of like, he went deep. He took it serious. He goes, I'm stuck. I'm in a place, I feel stuck. And so I said, well, hey, God sent us here to get you unstuck. And so we just had a great time praying for him. I think we prophesied over him a little bit. And he was just so open. And so when he walked off, his step was light. It was just really cool to see the way that the Lord moved in his life. And then it feels cool, too. I think this was something, like I said at the beginning, it feels cool when God uses you. It's life-giving. The Holy Spirit's flowing through you. And God wants to use us all the time. Do you realize that? He wants to encourage us. He wants to be constantly using us. I hadn't really planned on saying that, but I think that was pretty. I think that was right. Okay. Now, just a little bit about the fun that we have on our treasure hunt. And this is a little bit about God and kind of how God speaks to you. My wife brought my water up here and I haven't taken a drink yet. Excuse me. Okay. Now, God bless you as you begin to hear God more and more and more and more. Things may get more and more clear. But my experience has been many times God won't give you a real clear direction. It'll come quietly. It'll come as an impression. It'll come softly. And sometimes it'll be in part or almost. Like, for instance, if we're, when we write down our clues, we've discovered it's, I think I have seen more times when it wasn't the exact clue, but it was close, and we stepped out. So when God urges you to step out, go for it, even if it's not quite like you might have thought. For example, we had a guy, and our clue was camouflage jacket. So we went into the store we had on our list. There was a young man in there, and he had camouflage pants. And we're like, do I say anything or not? It's not the really perfectly true, but it's, let's go for it. So we walked up to him, and hey, you know, we're out here having a scavenger hunt or a treasure hunt. And we just had the neatest time with him as far as he just opened up his heart and shared, and it was this really tender and this neat prayer. Even though his treasure, the clue wasn't, you know, exactly right, he was still very receptive. And oftentimes, it just seems like in my experience, the Lord will get you close, and it's by faith you step on in. So that's just something I thought I'd throw that little nugget in. As you're walking with the Lord, don't always expect things to be the way you exactly expect. It's going to take some faith, some trust, that kind of thing. Okay, so another one was a young lady. She was about 14 years old. She had on red shoes, and we were looking for red shoes. And so we asked her, we went through our little introduction, and she was pretty open, but she gave us a really unusual prayer request. I think she was about 14. Her prayer request, and she thought about it a little bit. It wasn't right off the top of her head. She just took a little bit of time. She said, I'd like for you to pray that my friends will be lifelong friends. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty deep. And so you never know what kind of prayer need, you know, you're going to come into. But the cool part about that was it helped us kind of see into her spirit. And it was kind of a foundation where we could encourage her prophetically. You know, like, hey, you know, if you want lifelong friends, that's an awesome prayer. Then you're going to need to be that kind of a person. You're going to need to be that kind of friend. And so she received it really neat. And then before we left the store, she come up to us. Hey, would you take a picture with me? So that was the first. That, you know, she genuinely was receptive and received what we had. And that was really kind of a neat thing. Then, kind of another story of the Holy Spirit working with us. And, you know, as you walk with the Lord, you got the Holy Spirit out there, and He is not only beside you. Sometimes He's all around shoving people into your path, if you want to use that word. Or, you know what I'm saying, just working around you to orchestrate things. And you'll find that out big time if you go treasure hunting. So, for instance, one of my clues was purple t-shirt. And this lady was in the store, and she had a jacket on, but she also had a purple kind of a shirt, but it was kind of like my wife, I think, would call it a camisole. So it's not really a t-shirt. So I recognized right away, okay, that's not a t-shirt. So I was like, okay, I'll wait till I find a better clue, right? We go around the store a little while. Pretty soon, the lady comes over by me again, and I'm like, well, okay. I still passed it off. Her, she had a real, kind of real sober expression. It was like, just by the expression on her face, I wasn't drawn to her by her facial expression, let's put it that way. So we walked around the store a little bit more, and I think we might have prayed for a person or two, and we were getting ready to leave, and so here comes this lady right up to me again, and I'm like, okay, I see what you're saying, Lord, you know, she's highlighted, definitely go for her. And we just had a super neat time, and it was kind of a, she was in a hard place, and so we just helped her carry her load. I just felt like that was really cool. She was just, it was so different than what your perception sometimes of people can be so different. Her countenance just softened, and it was just like she just kind of opened up like a rose flower as far as just opening up to us and opening her heart and just really, really genuinely appreciated what we did. Okay, then another first. We were in Walmart and got a clue that wasn't real strong, dark blue clothes, but the clue was like all black clothing. Barb, she goes, I'm going for it. And so she went and talked to this young, introduced herself to this young man. And I'm going to say his name was Alex. That wasn't his real name, but, and he was limping pretty bad. And so we asked him what happened, and he fell down his stairs and was all pretty bunged up. And so we said, well, can we pray for you? And so we prayed for him. I think that was probably the first thing that we did. I mean, we just kind of prayed for him right off the bat, prayed for healing for him. And so then we asked him, you know, hey, can you move? And he was very obviously touched. And it was like, and I don't think I could have begun to twist as far around as he twisted. And then he had a leg that he was limping on, and he was kicking that leg. And, well, we were, woohoo, yay, this is awesome. And so then he kind of got quiet, and it was like, so what do you think? And then he goes, wow, this is something about changing. This is really changing my, oh, yeah, this is really opening my eyes, he said. This is really opening my eyes. So just the touch of God, you know what I'm saying? Really opened his eyes to God's love for him. He had been raised Catholic, I think, and now his mom was going to a Baptist church, so we had a conversation there. But basically then we asked him, so would you like to receive Jesus? And he said, yes. So that was really cool. And that was a first, so hallelujah. It's kind of neat to have breakthroughs. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, we've been praying and praying for somebody to get saved, somebody to get saved, somebody to get saved. And it just seemed like they're not quite ready or this or that, or the conversations don't go there for whatever reason. But so now we've broken that barrier, so we're excited about that. Okay. I better close up here pretty quick. So another thing was, we kind of have themes when we go out. And so we had several cool healings, this like the one I just shared. And then we went up to a lady and took a risk on her. It's kind of funny because sometimes we kind of argue on our team like, so is that a clue or is that not a clue? Does that qualify as a clue? Blah, 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 go back and forth, you know. And we were about ready to pass this lady up. I said, no, it's a clue. And we had the neatest time praying for her. And I wish I could have brought back a recording when we were done with her as far as just what she shared. She said she was just weeping. She had been probably diagnosed with kidney issues. And my guess was she was looking at a dialysis or, you know, those kinds of things. And so she was believing the Lord. She said, oh, I've been praying for healing for my kidneys. So we joined in with her, and of course we were full of faith because we had just come off of two. The one right before her, we prayed for a lady with her arm in a cast, and she's going, whoa, this don't hurt anymore. The pain's gone. She reached into her cart and grabbed her. We just got this bottle of painkiller, you know. And so, by the way, for those of you who are there, they called me today. And so, remember, she was... they were going to see a doctor, so whether or not she was going to have surgery on her arm, and she's not going to have to. So that particular couple, I knew them already, and they're right now, they're on a flight. Their family's on a flight to El Salvador to visit her family. So isn't that cool? So God's faithful. So with the whole kidney thing, we've just kind of been on a healing theme, and we've been crying out for God for healing to manifest in people. So that was a breakthrough this week, too, for that to happen. Okay, didn't another just really cool things? A young man had just had a baby that morning. His wife had just had a baby, I'm sorry. And he was with his sister-in-law, and they were doing some shopping. And so, you know, he says, when we asked him what we could pray for him for, he didn't say, so I could get over having a baby. It was just, his heart was like, I want to be a good father. I'm a new father, and I want to be a good father. So it was really cool because we had some prophetic stuff for him, too, and he just really received it. And it was cool to, sometimes the prophetic really, it's a good place to grow. If you want to grow in the prophetic, come and hunt with us because you have so many opportunities, and just, you'll just see God come through. You'll see him speak through you. Okay, then I can't leave this out because I feel like this is key. one girl, we had a clue that her green hair, and we saw a girl, she had green hair, so we approached her, and we shared that, man, we were excited because green hair is not that common, and so anyway, we thought it was a really good clue, but as soon as she realized that we were like, that we'd prayed about our clues, and this was about something having to do with God, it was like, oh, no, no, I don't really want anything to do with you guys. I'm good. See you all later. She was out of there. So we got rejected. And even that can be good because Jesus got rejected. And even, you know, so going out and being rejected is a place to grow in and a place to even identify with the Lord. So, yeah, it makes me, this is kind of why this just came to my mind, right? You know, Jesus promised the disciples, when you go out, nothing shall by any, he said, I'll give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. That just struck me like, rejection's not going to harm you. So often, that's the thing that I'm afraid of the most, you know, is the rejection, but it's not going to harm us. Jesus promised. In fact, it helps us identify with him. It helps us to be humble. It helps us to just take that lowly place, the place of humility. Okay, so real quick here. I just wanted to run down real quick. Okay, so I've told you a little bit about treasure hunting, and we hunt Saturday mornings, 9:45 till 12:30. So you're looking at a 4-hour, by the time you get up and drive here and drive home, most of the time you're looking at a 4-hour time commitment. So just be realistic. It's going to take 4 hours. But there's so many opportunities. Okay, I'll just list a few. Okay, first off, it's an opportunity to be a tool in God's hands, to feel the Holy Spirit working in and around and through you, to bless other people like that. It's an opportunity to relationally stretch yourself. You know, get yourself out of your comfort zone. Talk to people you don't know. Carry on a conversation, just those kinds of things. It's an opportunity to practice hearing from God. It's this great practice. You put yourself in that place. It's an opportunity to discover gifts you didn't know you had. When you get in those kind of situations, sure as anything, the Holy Spirit's going to light something up in you that you didn't know, you weren't thinking about, or all of a sudden you find yourself operating in something, reaching out in compassion to somebody or doing something, and your team member's going to go, whoa, did you see that? You really did an awesome job there. So it's an awesome way to just kind of break into new things. Then, like I said, it's an opportunity to experience rejection and be okay about it. It's an opportunity to make a commitment to something. Here we go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego again. Here we go to the narrow road. Part of being a Christian is making commitments and sticking with them. It develops your character big time. So if you can commit to being on a hunt once a month or once or every 2 weeks or whatever the Lord lays on your heart, it's an opportunity. There's great value in the kingdom in making a commitment and walking it out. God honors that so many ways in so many different areas. So this is a great commitment to make. Come, say, I'm going to treasure hunt for 6 months, or I'm going to treasure hunt for whatever. Whatever fits your situation. And you don't have to be a preacher, believe me. Anybody. In fact, the more childlike you are, the more you'll thrive in this. If you can be like a child, you'll do great. I mean, I'm sure that's the way it works. God said, unless you become like a child, you won't even enter the kingdom. Okay. So, let's just stand up and close in prayer, shall we? Lord, I thank you for every precious heart here this evening and what you're doing in their lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the examples that they are to us and the challenge and the glory that they were to you and how such an example of being shining stars and influential for the kingdom. Lord, thank you for opportunities to go out into the harvest. And Lord, I just pray that you will take the words I spoke this evening and those that you've called into the harvest, those you've called to labor, you'll tug on their hearts, you'll open doors for them, you'll make opportunities for them. This doesn't have to just be about treasure hunting. This is about a lifestyle of sharing the gospel. This is about loving on people is when you see an opportunity. Lord, there's not any condemnation for those who can't come treasure hunting with us. Total freedom. We all have our stuff to do. Treasure hunting happens to be one neat way. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. If you can't treasure hunt with us, please pray for us, but do not feel less than because you can't come. Lord, I just believe that you're going to go with us. Just the Spirit of peace is going to go with us as we go the rest of this week. Thank you for the worship time tonight, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to be in your presence with other believers. Lord, thank you for the worship leaders and the singers, the ministers. It's just such an opportunity and such an awesome privilege to come together. It stirs us up. It causes us to grow. So, Lord, we just, again, just worship you and say thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.